But today's old-fashioned day, and I would just remind you, and those of you who have been here for a while know that this is true. As a church, we've always believed and preached the old-fashioned gospel. We'll be 21 years old next February as a church, and if you go back and listen to a tape from one of our services in 1987, you'll see back then we preached the old-fashioned gospel. And if you got a CD from last week, you'll see that we still preach the old-fashioned gospel. The old-fashioned gospel is the gospel that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he said this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now that's the old-fashioned gospel. Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, I just want to just tell you a little bit about the old-fashioned gospel, and then my message this morning is to just tell you why I preach, or we preach here, the old-fashioned gospel, why we do that. But let me just tell you a little bit about the old-fashioned gospel. The old-fashioned gospel calls sin, sin. The old-fashioned gospel doesn't dress sin up. It doesn't call sin by different names. It gets right to the point and says, look, sin is disobedience to God. Sin is disobedience to the rules and the precepts and the concepts that He gives us in this book. And you can call sin by a lot of different names. And if you read one of the things I put in the bulletin this week, talking about euphemisms, where we call different things different names because we want to take away the harshness from it. We began to do that in religious circles where we don't call sin sin. We call it something else because it makes it sound better than it is. Well, I'll just remind you this morning that the old-fashioned gospel doesn't dress it up. It doesn't put perfume on it. It doesn't call it by different names so it doesn't sound so harsh. It calls sin, sin, and you get right down to it, sin is disobedience to God. It's doing something that He said, thou shalt not, or it's not doing something that He said, you shall do. And I'll just give you a couple quick examples. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. And if you tell a falsehood, if you tell a lie, that's a sin. The Bible also says, honor your father and your mother. And if you, at one time, just one time, you disobeyed dad or mom, that is a sin. And the old-fashioned gospel calls it just like it is, sin is sin. The old-fashioned gospel says that everybody is a sinner. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know there's some people here that say, hey, preacher, you're not speaking to me. All these other people sitting in this room may be sinners, but not me. I'm a good person. I'm a moral person. I try to do what's right. Okay, so let me ask you, have you ever told a lie? Just one? Have you ever told a falsehood? Have you ever stretched the truth? Here's how we try to dress it up. Oh, we don't lie, we stretch the truth. Or we don't lie, we just tell a little white fib. A lie's a lie. God said, thou shalt not lie. And if you've told one falsehood, that makes you a sinner. Have you ever disobeyed mom and dad? You see, obedience is the way we honor our parents. And if there was ever a time where you disobey mom and dad, that makes you a sinner. You say, preacher, I don't understand. You mean one sin makes me a sinner? Isn't that pretty strict? Hey, it's not me that's saying it, it's God that's saying it. In James chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so one sin makes us a sinner. The old-fashioned gospel says that there's a penalty for sin, and that penalty is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death. Physical death comes as a result of sin. Adam and Eve, I think, would have lived forever if they had not sinned. But they sinned, and it brought about physical death. And sin hastens sometimes our physical death. But the penalty of sin is not physical death. The penalty of sin is spiritual death. Being separated from God. Being separated from the one that made us. Being separated from our Creator. Being separated from Him right now. And being separated from Him for all of eternity. And in that place, and let me just say it, in that place called hell. You'll go up to a lot of churches this morning and they won't mention the name of hell. And there's a lot of people that live today that said, hey, listen, God is a God of love. God loves us. A God of love would never make a place like hell, a place of fire, the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. God wouldn't. A God of love would never make a place called hell, and a God of love would never send us to a place like that. Well, I want to remind you that the same book that tells us about a loving God tells us about a place called hell. And I'll remind you this morning that this book is not a smorgasbord. You cannot go in here and say, hey, I like this piece, I'm going to believe that, but I don't like what it says here, I'm not going to believe that. You either believe it all or you believe none of it. You either believe every verse or you believe none of it. This is the Word of God, and this Word that talks about a loving, kind, gracious God also talks about a God of justice and a righteous God. A God that will judge sin. The old-fashioned gospel says that God loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And that love took action, that He gave His only begotten Son. And that action paid our debt, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the gospel is. That's what the old-fashioned gospel is. That's the gospel that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 15, hundreds of years ago. That's the gospel we preached when we first started this church. That's the gospel we preached last week, the gospel we will preach this week, the gospel we will preach next week, and the gospel we will preach till Jesus comes again, that He loves us, and He sent His Son to die in our place. And if we'll believe in Him and take the gift of salvation that He offers, we can be saved. That's the old-fashioned gospel. Now, why do we preach it here? Three reasons. Number one is because the value of your soul. Your soul is valuable. We're studying in the Sunday school with the little kids about how God created the world. And this morning we talked about how God created man. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis that God said, let us create man in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, let us create man in our image. And I believe that God did that. He created man, a three-part being. There's our body. That's what we see. That's what we use to get around in. There's our soul. That's you. That's we can't see that. It's sort of like being in, I was thinking about it, it's sort of like being in a car with tinted windows where you hope somebody's in there as it's going down the street. You can't see them, but you hope there's somebody in there. Well, that car is like our body. That's what we see. The soul is like that person that's in there driving the car. We can't see our soul, but we have a soul. And then there's our spirit. Our spirit is that part of us that was made to know God. Our spirit is that part of us that was made to fellowship with God. Now, this is not part of my message, and I'm just going to park here for a second. Again, it's not part of my message. I'm just going to throw it in for nothing this morning. You get an extra added bonus. Your spirit dies when you become a sinner. You see, your spirit was that part that God made in you to know Him, to fellowship with Him. When you sin, that spirit sort of dies, because what I mean by that, it cannot do what it was made to do. Your spirit was made to fellowship with God. But as a sinner, you can't fellowship with God because of your sin. And I've had people say to me, say, "Preacher, there's just something missing in my life. There's just, it just seems like there's an empty spot in my life. I just don't know what it is." And I say, "You want me to tell you what it is? It's your spirit crying out, 'I need to know God. I need that relationship with God.'" Your life will not be complete without a relationship with your Creator. There will always be an empty spot in your being. You may have all the world has to offer. You may be happy in every other way that the world describes happiness. But if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, there will be an empty spot in your being that can never be filled with anything else. And people try to fill it up with all sorts of things that the world has to offer, and all of them come up empty. The world makes us empty promises. I'll tell you how to have purpose. I'll tell you how to have meaning. I'll tell you how to have peace. Just do this, own this, have this. And it all comes up empty. Because the only thing that will fill up that spot, that will give your spirit peace and life, is a relationship with God. Okay, let me get back to my message. Let me get back to your soul. That part of you that's you, that we can't see. Your soul's going to live forever. This old body's going to die. Sooner or later, it will go back to the dust from which it was made. But the Bible says that your soul is eternal, and your soul is valuable. Adam read a moment ago from the book of Mark, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What that verse is saying, you could own, if you gain the whole world, you could own the whole world. You could own all the precious minerals that are and metals that are in this earth. You could own all the natural resources. You could own all the lands. You could have all the wealth that the world has to offer. But if you are separated from God, if your spirit is dead, if your soul is under the condemnation of sin, the Bible says you have not made a good trade. You haven't made a good trade. The Bible says it's better to be right with God and have a relationship to the one with the one that made you and a fellowship with Him than to gain the whole world. Listen to me. Not just a little piece of it. Not just $1 million. You could have all the money that Bill Gates and Rockefeller has. And the Bible says that all of that, all the money that you can imagine, does not compare to having your soul right with God. That's why we preach the old-fashioned gospel. Because your soul is valuable to God. Number two, why do we preach the old-fashioned gospel? Because it's the only one that works. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I'm not talking about your religion. I'm not talking about being a Baptist. I'm not talking about being a Catholic. I'm not talking about being a Methodist. I'm not talking about being a Presbyterian. I'm not talking about being an Episcopal. I'm not talking about anybody that I left out. I am not talking about your religion. Your religion, even Baptist, doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know Jesus Christ? That's what matters. The Bible says that the way to life is a very narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that find it." Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, talking about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's a pretty narrow way. And by the way, that's not a Methodist way. That's not a Baptist way. That's not a Catholic way. That is a Bible way. a Bible way. The Bible says if you want life, if you want to escape the condemnation of sin, if you want to avoid hell, you come through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It does not matter what church you go to. It does not matter who your parents or your grandparents are. It does not matter how you behave. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. What matters, the thing that matters, the only thing that matters, the one thing that matters, is do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Why do we preach the gospel? Because your soul is more valuable than the whole earth. Why do we preach the old-fashioned gospel? Because it's the only way that works. And then number three, why do we preach the old-fashioned gospel? Because time is short. Time is short. 2,000 years ago, Paul talked about being alive when Jesus came back. He thought it could happen in his day. John, Apostle John, wrote, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." He thought Jesus could come back in his day. Bible says that no man knows the hour of his return. No man. The angels don't know. Jesus himself says, "I don't know." Only the Father knows. And I cannot this morning tell you when Jesus is coming back. I will tell you this. It's closer than it's ever been. I can't tell you the date. And no man can, by the way. No man can tell you when Jesus is coming back. But I can tell you he is coming back. And it's closer now than it's ever been. And so here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are your sins paid for? Are you right with God? If not, here's what I'd ask you to do right now. Right now, before it's just a few minutes before 12. I'm gonna be done just about on time. But here's what I want you to do if you're not ready. I just want you to admit to God that you're a sinner. Just tell him that you understand. Yeah, I've told a lie. I've disobeyed my parents at one time. Makes you a sinner. Just admit to God you're a sinner. Second, would you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And when he came and died on Calvary, he died to pay for your sins. And then would you just confess him? Just confess him. Call upon him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, "Preacher, how do I do that?" You just say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the punishment that God has set up for sin. But I believe that you died in my place. And right now I'm asking you to be my Savior." The Bible says if you do that, he'll save you. He'll save you. I read a story some time ago about a young man that heard the old-fashioned gospel. And he knew he was a sinner. He understood that God had every right to punish sin. And he'd go to church time after time after time, and the preacher would preach a gospel message, and he would just stand there and say, "No, I can't do it now. I can't do it now. I can't do it now." Story goes that one night he had a dream. And in that dream, he was face to face with Satan. And Satan said, "Hey, I got a deal for you. Got a deal for you. If you'll give me your soul, I'll give you all the wealth in the world. You'll be richer than the Rockefellers. You'll be richer than the Kennedys. You'll be richer than Warren Buffett or Bill Gates. You will be the richest man that the world has ever known. But I want your soul. Will you give me your soul for riches?" And the young man said, "Oh, no, I could never do that. I couldn't sell this part of me that's going to live forever for a bunch of money. I couldn't do that." And Satan said, "Okay, well, I got another deal for you then. If you won't sell it for money, I'll tell you what. I'll make you the most famous person that's ever lived. You'll be more well-known than any TV or movie star. You'll be more well-known than any musician. You'll be more well-known than any athlete. You'll be better known than Michael Jordan or all those other guys if you'll give me your soul. And the young man said, I can't do that. I can't give you this part of me that's going to live forever just to be famous. And the devil said, okay, I got another. Maybe you'll do this. I got another deal for you. If you'll give me your soul, I'll make you the smartest person that's ever lived. You'll be wiser than Solomon. You'll be wiser, smarter than Einstein. I mean, you think about all the smart people you know. If you'll give me your soul, I'll make you smarter than all of them put together. And the young man said, I can't do that either. I can't give you this part of me that's going to live forever. I can't give it to you for being smart. And the devil sort of chuckled to himself and laughed to himself. And he said, okay then, I'm getting you for nothing. I'm getting you for nothing. Because every time you reject Christ, it means that you're headed my direction. And I'm going to get you for nothing. I don't know about you. I don't want to give the devil anything. And I sure don't want to give him my soul. And I don't want you to give him your soul either. And so this morning, as you've heard the old-fashioned gospel, would you just take it? Would you just do what it invites you to do? Come as a sinner to a Savior who loves you, who paid the price of your sin on Calvary, and wants you to come, and he'll forgive you every one of your sins and make you right with God. Take you to heaven. That's what he offers. That's what the old-fashioned gospel is all about. Would you take it this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for making it so simple that even a little boy or a little girl could understand it. So simple that...